Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us, guys. Quick shout out to all of the places you can watch this show. You can watch it on our app for IGN on mobile. We have Android apps also. We got apps all over the place.
Yep. PS4, Xbox One. Yeah. But just a reminder, like the experience is better. We're just reminding you, install the app, please.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Let's get into the topics we're going to be talking about today. So over on Reddit, people are like, man, people have been really negative in the chat for the ride-along and everything. So we're going to talk about some positive things about Destiny. We're going to talk about how it became a smashing success, because I don't think anybody could argue that it was a failure from a sales standpoint, at least. And there's a huge fan base behind it.
It was a failure from a sales standpoint?
No, it was not.
I was like, what?
Yeah, nobody.
You saying nobody can make that argument.
Yeah. No, yeah.
We're going to talk about our favorite memories with the game. And we're going to talk about how The Division's coming out next week and how we think it'll impact the Destiny community. So let's start. Destiny, it launched. Reviews were kind of eh, but it has clearly gone on to be a success with the community.
Yeah, I mean, what reviews were not bad though.
They so were like
they
eight,
ranged
eight
from
on
six
average.
Five to like nines.
Yeah,
they did. Expectation wise, Bungie normally doesn't make a 9.0 or lower type game in general. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your expectation.
People expected like a 10. We got like an 8.
People expected the Star Wars of, you know, Star Wars plus Halo, plus there was so much hype and delays, so to speak, like it had been in the making for a long time. So,
well, let's not focus on the negative. Let's talk about how did this game manage to get its hook in so many people and become this huge success that it is today?
Like modeling it after gambling.
Right?
The psychological grind to earn and roll the dice. Legitimately, that's a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
But any game can do that. So, I mean, I was in half seriousness. A big part of it is the psychological nature of it. We know, you know, they worked with people on how to do that really well.
Yep.
All those RNG games do. It's mathematics. It's Pavlovian even, right? When you hear that bell, you keep wanting to come back and do that again. But at the core of it, I mean, solid gameplay at the core, meaning the mechanics. That's my feeling. And what they really did was they combined it all with the co-op elements. And all of that was something that nothing had quite looked that sharp in the first-person shooter world, felt quite that crisp. They always make great shooters, you know, love or hate some of the issues with lag or whatever. So it did something totally unique. I mean, and then the raids. Again, in a first-person shooter, it never been done before. So for me, that's why. Like, they did things that hadn't been done before, all in one place.
The raid was something really special when that launched. You were able to hop in with your buddies, go play the Vault of Glass together. And then that's where the real hooks of the gambling element came in, because that was your only way to get to level 30. Yeah. So you would keep coming back, not only for the amazing gear that you got in the raid. You got really good weapons and armor. But also you had a chance at some of the best exotics. And it was a really fun, challenging experience to do with your friends.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'd never had, like, you know, six people out, you know, that I was coordinating this timepiece with. It's kind of a pun with the Vault of Glass stuff.
I get it.
Good
one, Brad.
But anyway, like, it I just hadn't done that before. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was just awesome.
Finnegan, you have like 300 days in World of Warcraft or something insane.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So I think what Destiny did really well is what Diablo did really well, which is like it's that constant wanting to improve your character and max minning your builds and efficiency for what you're doing, right? Like that is such an addictive thing to do in gaming, and it's such a awesome mechanic to build into your game alongside the quest to kind of like, you know, work out the problems and the raids and all of the sort of PvE and PvP elements with your friends. Like, that's something that made Diablo super cool, was like you play the same five acts or however many over and over again, and sure, they're randomly generated, so they're never quite the same, but it's not about what you're playing, it's how you're playing it, right? Mm-hmm. And getting all of those, like, those minor improvements. Like, that RPG element hadn't ever been done with a shooter before. So to combine that sort of mentality and approach in an RPG with a really great mechanically built first-person shooter was something that, like Fran said, we hadn't really seen that before.
Yeah, not to that level, because we should mention Borderlands, obviously. You know,
no, but you see, like, I'm considering Borderlands. Like, I played Borderlands and Borderlands 2, and I like those games a lot. I think they're really, really good. But in my mind, there's one clear winner that plays better, and it's Destiny. Like,
yeah, and that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Combine that polish. That, I mean, Bungie. Mm-hmm.
Everybody made that comparison.
Yeah,
also.
Like, I mean, Borderlands, like, it has a very unique look to it, and great storytelling.
The
great
writing
characters
is phenomenal.
And stuff. Yeah, it's very funny. Very good, but like mechanically, that game to me does not feel as polished or as finely tuned as Destiny. And mm-hmm. I don't know anyone really out there who would make the argument otherwise, right? Like, in terms of its shooting mechanics, everything about Destiny feels good. The guns, the grenades, the movement, and I don't feel like comparatively, while Borderlands is good, it just feels a little lethargic and a little clunky.
Yep.
To compared to Destiny. That's not to say it's not a competent
shooter
on its own.
But
they're great
games.
Yeah, it's
a different
product.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we rated it better for all those reasons. Like, what Borderlands
2 is rated very highly,
yeah,
actually.
What they were trying to do, combining the story with admittedly a different type of, you know, shooting gameplay, like, and no raids and all that, right? Like, is different. But also, at the same time, you know, we won't go into the negative, but Destiny did things at that time when it launched where it was like, oh my gosh, I got to do all this stuff just to get to the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big mistake. So meaning, let's not forget Borderlands is great, but mechanically, and that's why I use that word a lot, man, they do great things in
Destiny.
Oh
yeah, the gameplay has been really good since the very beginning. But I mean, built like, it's part of the commercial success, part of its smashing success is that the game's evolved a lot over time, right? Like, you spoke a little bit to the difficulties that Destiny faced in year one. A lot of those were voiced by the community and addressed in future DLCs or, you know, the Taken King, which has changed what the game fundamentally is now over the years.
Yeah.
So that's another reason that the community has really taken to this game, is like it's kind of fostered this idea and this ongoing relationship between the consumers and the developers, where it's like, in a way, it's kind of symbiotic, right?
Yeah. Bungie's always been pretty good with that. I mean, again, they're a very closed, private developer, so to speak, but they have always had a very strong community that did feel like, you know, you're listening to us at some point. You know, they're just a little slow with it sometimes. But we know they're listening, so.
one amazing thing that happened with Destiny after it launched was people built careers off of this product. Datto, Planet Destiny. There's these huge communities that literally just cover Destiny now. That's all they do all the time. And that was really, really surprising for me. To give you an idea of how big the game is, like literally like 20 people, that's all they do. Cathalion.
Yeah.
Broman. You know,
Alfredo Diaz.
Alfredo,
although he plays games.
Well, that was his foundation, though, right?
Totally,
it was Destiny and the Destiny community and the people backing those people.
That, you know, it didn't surprise me as much. I mean, I had maybe forgotten about it because there hasn't been that many new franchise launches that were that big. But like, meaning people form their careers out of Call of Duty, you know, just playing.
That's playing at a professional level, though. This is a game that you could be terrible at. start a Twitch thing or YouTube thing, and then be able to speak about it and learn about it and present those facts and start something.
It's true. I mean, it's easy to forget, is all I'm saying. But Minecraft, and there's these big communities where you form an entire career off of just that one game.
Yeah.
But again, we sort of hadn't seen it with, like, you know, it's not like Halo fostered quite that type of community.
Halo was the Machinima community, you know?
Like, yeah, it was more Machinima. Yeah. That's true, actually.
Red versus blue.
But for just, like, playing the game, reviewing the guns, et cetera, it brought all that to the table. So, yeah, it just had all the right stuff in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is... I always talk about it with the video guy, CJ Gibson, you know, because we keep wondering why we keep playing it. You know, there's not much to do. But there's a little piece of magic in there that Bungie's able to create.
It's a camaraderie, too. It's a great way to hang out with your friends and accomplish something in a game.
Yeah, I brought it up during our live fire team chat event. Episode event. But like,
you got it.
Yeah. What's up?
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
House party. Yeah.
House party, that's what it was. But, like, one of the great things that I think a lot of games miss out on that Bungie's done a really good job creating with Destiny is this idea of just, like, the Sherpa community, right? Like, which is what it's cooperative as opposed to competitive, which is that, like, when you know, in typical MMORPGs, like, when I was in World of Warcraft, like, there was a time when I was the top-rated mage on my server. I was so far ahead of everyone else in my DPS that I stopped playing for, like, 8 months because I got a girlfriend. And, I was still, like, when I came back 8 months later, I was still far ahead of everyone else. Mm-hmm. But, like, during that time, all I would do is look down with imperiousness, like, on everyone else. Like, I'm
look
just
at
so,
these plans.
Yeah, look at all these guys. Like, I'm so much better. I'm a god amongst them. But when you're like that in Destiny, like, instead of looking down with disdain on everyone else, you kind of feel compelled to help them because you remember the time when you were at that point.
Yeah.
And there are people out there, like, Alfredo did it for a really long time where he'd carry his subs through the raid so that they can get through and see the type of content that maybe other people didn't get to. And I think that type of thing is really, really cool and positive for the community.
And
it brings people back. Yeah,
it's a special thing. Not a lot of other games do because it gives not the person that's hit that high level. It gives them another way to experience the product.
Totally.
You know, and they can feel good for doing something nice for the community
or
for your
friends. Yeah, you gain a sense of accomplishment by through another means as opposed to just achieving for your own characters, right?
Definitely.
Now you've helped someone else achieve their characters, and that's another very positive thing.
The friendship base you built with this product is why I think it was so successful.
Totally.
You know, definitely.
There are people who say that they, you know, they've met friends via playing Destiny and still are friends even if they don't play Destiny or now play other games together as well, and I think that's super cool.
Yeah, and you have that in other communities, but there was something about this one that was just really strong, and I've experienced that. You know, I started telling people, like, add me on PlayStation. The next thing I know, they did. The next thing, they're like, yo, I'll take you to the lighthouse anytime. And I'm like, I'm getting in there. And I have, you know, this group. We call ourselves the One and Done team.
Do you guys have shirts? Have you made shirts?
No, we should. We should. Because just meaning, like, by and large, at this point, you know, the raid's like piece of cake. And it was, you know, just with the right group of people that were all really good. But, but all the bragging aside, I've never actually experienced that in a game. Even having played way back to even games like Ultima Online way back in the day, there was community stuff, StarCraft community stuff. But this bringing six people together for really ornate, you know, raid type stuff, or even just playing something like Trials, which demands like an actual relationship. Like you really like you can only play Trials with certain amounts of people. Some people are like just deplorable experiences. Like they may be really good or whatever, but you're like I'm not even here. You're not listening to me or whatever. So it is a true relationship. But my point is I've never had a game like this where I've developed so many friends. I would say, have met digitally, you know, and I don't know what any of them look like. At least about 20 people that I would consider a friend, you know, because I see them all the time in the game and I talk to them, which is a really interesting experience. It's awesome.
Moving on, let's talk about some of our favorite memories playing Destiny. I definitely have a few off the top of my head, but I'll let you guys start. Fran, do you have one that you can think of?
Yeah, we've done this segment before, but there's so many great memories, you know. But for me, it's hard to beat.
Has it changed?
No. It's hard to beat year one hard raid, probably because the grind was so tough then, so hard mode in Vault. And I went in there with a group of folks that had done a bunch of times. And the truth is, like, I just, at that point, because the grind was so hard, I just could not get the team together with my group of friends I was playing at the time. So I kind of had to be carried through it. But when I got Vex and the helmet, the first time I played through, and it was like 2:30 a.m., and we tried a number of times. Like, I don't do this, you know, and I'm just not that excitable of a person unless I'm yelling on a show like this. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, my God, like, I got it. You know, like, I was like 2:30 at night, and, you know, yeah. Like, I had an actual physical reaction because they'd beaten me down so far that I was never going to get this stuff. And then I got amazing drops. Absolutely one of my favorite memories. Just feeling that level of an excitement.
Yeah.
In a game I'd already been playing for like 100 hours at that point. So.
Yeah. What about you, Sean?
I've told it before, but like my all-time favorite memory is watching Brian Malkowitz try and do the jump puzzle for the first time in Vault of Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like we brought him in, you know, I'd been playing for a while, like at that point, and I'd gone through a few times with my team, so it was pretty easy for me. And I'd done the raid like on, you know, both easy or normal and hard a few times. But then we brought Brian in, who I'd convinced to get back into the game because this is when it was becoming really cool. And we watched him for half an hour. Like, he couldn't do it. And eventually we had to, like, swap out someone's characters to a different character so that he could show him how to jump with that character,
oh
like
my
a
God.
Warlock. And it was so funny. And
the Warlock's, like so easy, too.
Supposedly, yeah. Like, yeah. I don't have a Warlock. I don't know.
It
but,
is.
just all like, me and the other four people sitting there just on the edge, just watching him fail over and over again.
Every time he dies, drink.
Yeah, and it was so funny. Like, it was, like, I give him crap about it all the time because Brian's actually a really great player. But everyone has trouble the first time that jump puzzle.
Was he a hunter, though?
No, Warlock.
Oh, he was Warlock, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's probably my all-time favorite. But then I think my second favorite has to be after, like, 2,000 hours getting Gjallarhorn. Like, I had gotten 15 Dragon's Breath or something. It was something like that.
Like 1,000, maybe.
Yeah, it was a lot.
But still.
Yeah, like, I had said it before, but I think Alfredo got, like, 7 or 8 Gjallarhorns before I got my first Gjallarhorn. I felt like I was never going to get it.
What month did you get it in? Do you remember?
Oh, I can't remember. Okay. It was, like...
Spring, summer, like, do you remember that at all?
It was, like, a month or a month and a half before they nerfed Gjallarhorn, the wolf background.
Yeah, exactly. So, that, I mean, that was... before they nerfed.
Remember how they nerfed Gjallarhorn?
That was pretty late, man.
Yeah, no, it's like right. Yeah, it was right
before.
But not before...
as bad as some. Some people only got it, you know, from Xur. But I knew one person, I think, who got it just
Xur
before.
Xur sold
that
it, like, right before August. They nerfed it, right?
Yeah.
Like the week before they nerfed it.
Yep.
Well, the full nerf of Taken King, you mean. But there was the Wolfpack rounds. They decreased the damage. That was during Dark Below, I think, actually.
Okay, yeah. See, that's the thing is, like, I can't.
It was Prison of Elders?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was Prison of Elders. Like, but we in were any playing, event. Yeah.
So Prison of Elders had been released when that nerf happened.
So, yeah.
It was like May or June of last year.
I got Gjallarhorn. I thought I was so ecstatic. But, like, it was that in combination with the fact that the game had been always teasing me with an exotic, but it was always Dragon's Breath. And that was when Dragon's Breath was terrible. Like,
still not great.
It's still not great, but it's like, it has some application, right? Mm-hmm. Like, now with the Napalm round, like, you can put damage on things that are behind cover, which is pretty cool.
It's cool. Mm-hmm.
But, like, before, it had no tracking, so I remember getting Dragon's Breath and being like, whoa, it has, like, a mouth and a shark painted on it. This looks so cool. And I went into, like... I went to Prison of Elders and I tried to use it on the boss and I like shot it and then the boss just like it took one it has very low velocity
so
it took
warped.
Forever to get over there and then he didn't even warp, he just stepped to the side and it flew right by and I was like, this is the worst gun in the game. I was so disappointed. And then I got like 10 more of them after that and I just was so angry at the game.
Drake.
When I finally got it, when I finally got Gjallarhorn, it was like, I was so happy. It was awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say Dragon's Breath just dropped way too much back in the day. So they fixed that.
Yeah. Not only did it drop too much, but it was also really,
it wasn't
really
a great gun.
The worst exotic.
Looked cool, though.
It did.
For me, getting Gjallarhorn, you know, you'll always have that memory. I lost my mind. I started shouting. And I was like, oh, my God, I got it. You know. And then Hawkmoon later, because, like, it was the last exotic I needed. And, like, I just never got it for whatever reason.
You went on a mathematical live stream quest, right?
Yeah.
You
calculated. I'm like, we're going to run through this raid on normal and then on hard and then normal and then hard on each character. And I probably went for, like, 3 hours of just running raids until I got it on, like, my second Dark Below run. I think it was on normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, you had counted all the places you knew you could get an exotic drop.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm just going to go through every one of them, all three characters, and, like,
it
was a good method.
Uh-huh.
You did it. You pulled it off.
Yeah.
Because you mac, like, there was something like 20-some chances that you figured out, I think. The Nightfalls.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
The Gorgon Chest.
Oh, yeah.
Crota.
So three Nightfalls.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Three Gorgon Chests. on normal.
Crota, yeah. Hard and yeah. Normal.
Aetheon on hard every time. Yeah, you have a chance to get it there on vault. Yeah, so I figured out all these ways that you had a chance at an exotic drop.
That is crazy.
And I ended up getting it that time.
That was exciting. Yeah. So you actually have that clip on your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, channel? Yeah. So that one's up over there. Also,
I wish I could have experienced Hawkmoon in its heyday.
Yeah.
I loved it.
On IGN, Flawless Raider. Destin gets Flawless Raider.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty fun. You know?
Did that?
I did that.
I tried to do I did a live stream where we tried to do Flawless Raider. We couldn't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We failed a bunch of times, like, just because of stupidity reasons.
You did
like,
Dark Below, right?
Yeah, we did Dark Below. And, like, what's funny is I don't think I've ever done Crota's End where you didn't cheese it. Because, like, I just came in late, right? Like,
so which people cheese? Didn't.
All of the cheeses, like skipping the bridge, like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I remember we got so far, like on our very last attempt, we were running out of time on the stream, and the only person who hadn't messed up before was Alfredo, and he was also the only person who had any sense of how to carry the sword.
Yeah.
And then he died on the sword.
Is it because Crota got up early, or did he
you
just
live
was
by the
tired?
Sword?
No, I mean we have the stream archive, that's so awesome. We could look back for video evidence. But I'm pretty sure it was just like we noobed it up, and then Alfredo died.
That's the problem. Like you grind so much, and eventually you're like, oh man, like you lose.
We were
your
so
motor
close. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fun times. So, yeah, we only have a little more time left. We might.
Let's talk about the Division. The Division is next week.
Yep.
It's a big release for us. We're actually going to be piloting a show. I'll be hosting it. We're going to do 5 episodes of a IGN Division show. A lot of correlations with Destiny. And my question here is, how do we think the Division's release is going to impact Destiny? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to have a pretty big impact. Everybody is looking at Division to be their next Destiny-esque game. But does it have the same hooks that Destiny had? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I mean, just instinctually and based on only having played it for like 10 or 15 hours, I'm going to say it doesn't have the same hook, because that hook is like how good the gameplay is. Like, I'm predisposed to not really like third-person shooters because I just don't, I don't know, first-person shooters are better.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm not just saying, like,
I mean, that's
in your
a
opinion.
Big statement, Sean. That's
in
all
Sean's
but
opinion.
But it's your opinion. Yeah, you're entitled to
what
it.
Is the best third-person shooter ever
Uncharted.
For you?
I was about to say Uncharted, but I don't consider
would
it like a detailed shooter.
Gears of War.
I would love to talk with anyone about how Halo or any Counter-Strike or any other first-person shooter is like a country mile better than Gears of War in its gameplay and feel. Like,
different products.
Yeah,
but that's
very
my point.
Different
is
products.
Like first-person shooters are better than third-person. Yeah. Third
it's a difference. I wasn't saying one was better than the other. It was just the way you said it. It was quantifiable for you.
Okay, let's put an opinion on it, because like an opinion, this is a Sean Finnegan opinion for sure. But like, I played Gears a lot, and I thought it was good, but not that good. Not as good feeling or as fast or as like precise as any other sort of like even mid-tier first-person shooter. So I don't really like how the Division feels and plays. That said, there's a lot of really cool RPG elements that are much deeper than in Destiny. That's the part that I'm really interested in, is like one glance at all of the different like...
It's the mods.
Yeah, all of the mods and the upgrades and your tech and your talent trees, essentially. Yeah. That stuff is stuff that I wish was in Destiny, because it makes the RPG elements deeper. That's the stuff that really, really interests me. But for me, again, the big hook of any shooter is how does the shooting feel and how does the movement feel? And just on the, you know, the 10 or so hours I played, I wasn't quite invested in as much as I wish I was. That said, I think a lot of people are. Like, I think it's going to really impact, especially now that it's coming at a time where Destiny's not doing much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of people are going to jump over to that game and at least give it a shot. And, you know, I think the hope for Ubi is that they give it a shot, they like it, and then they never go back.
Mm-hmm. I think it might fracture the community. I think a lot of people are going to jump over to Division for at least 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just seeing what happened with Destiny, people tear through content. You know, and I wonder is Division going to have those unicorn type weapons that you like rarely get, like Gjallarhorn?
Yeah.
And if they don't, that was the hook. The gear and the weapons, you know, of Destiny Vanilla was the big hook for that product. And I don't know that the Division has that. So I think people are going to like, they're going to go through, they're going to hit 30, and then they're going to wait for those season pass items in Division. And I think you know, for a month, we're going to hear a lot about Division, and we'll see what happens after that. I'm going to be really interested to watch the life cycle of that product.
Yeah, I mean, there's like I said, I'm really interested in the game because I think it does a lot of really cool things with the RPG mechanics specifically, and then it does the, you know, it's integrating it into a third person shooter. It's a more contemporary setting. Like, you were playing, I think, and Mike Aransky, one of our producers, walked by and just looked over your shoulder and guessed the location because he'd lived in New York.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was like, it's 7th and Broadway or whatever.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's exactly where you were. Like, they've done a great job recreating New York City on a scale that's explorable but also still feels real big, which is so cool, man. But I'm also a little hesitant because, like, in my experience, Ubisoft doesn't have as good a pedigree in terms of online multiplayer.
This is one of their first big ones.
Exactly.
And they had 6 million something people in the beta.
Yeah.
Like, they broke records.
And look at, you know, just look at what happened with Rainbow Six Siege. Like, when it released, like, there was an entire month there where basically it was unplayable for people online. Like, those kind of issues worry me for a game like this because it has to launch perfectly because this is your one opportunity to lure people away from Destiny.
Yeah.
And I'm just a little hesitant about whether or not it'll actually get there.
Well, let them worry about that. But no, I know what you mean.
No, but I mean, you got to worry about it too, right? Because if you spend $60 on it and it doesn't work, like, of course I'm worried.
Of course. Okay. Like, that would suck. If that's what you're talking about, then yes, you got. It is very true. You got to be super careful with that. Yeah, for me, actually, what's interesting, it's clearly modeled after Destiny. They have a ton of marketing data. They have fan feedback. They know all the stuff they need to do what you're talking about, you know, Destin. But it is a different type of game, and I do agree. We haven't seen these unicorn weapons, and then incursions are raids, right? Is that what they're called? I think they're called incursions.
They're not raids.
What are the raids? What's the raid?
There isn't a raid.
Well, but the incursions I had understood were like, okay, they're a weekly strike then, or what?
It's sort of strikes.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Strike level or nightfall level.
So but that's
no raid though yet. There was rumors about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe they're withholding that piece. But in any event, it's about. I guess my first point was that they do have the model, right? They got yellow high-end weapons.
Yeah.
They got the purples are specialized, or what are they?
It's purple weapons. They're the really
They're
good
literally
ones.
Called high-end and like specialized
gold.
Or something. Yeah. They do have names.
Uh-huh.
But in any event, they've got all of that, right? And I wanted, you know, the exotic weapons and I wanted the purple weapons. So they've got that going for it. But like the payoff, you're right. I haven't seen like just this amazing high-tech weapon that does something really unique and cool. It's kind of like DPS and ability to mod it. Mm-hmm. That's where we might see a very big difference, like you're saying. Like, you know, you can, I can use this really cool mod on that weapon, and that's, you know, you see these type of games, they're going for quantity of things. Destiny, there's a lot of guns, but at the top, it's a very small set. But this game's going to be all about the mods. I'm excited to paint my guns and stuff, though. And so, like, I'm sure there'll be very unique things there. So I think they've got something going there. All the little stuff, like when you hear, like, oh, that mod, that barrel. Like, imagine you could actually get a barrel drop that you apply to your pulse rifle in Destiny, right? They've got that going for it. So I like that. But like you see it in any first-time developer, well, with a game this big anyway, they are going to have to learn. You know, they're going to have to learn what people want.
Has Ubi done... Like, what has Ubi done on this scale?
Well, I mean,
nothing.
Rainbow Six.
Nothing.
But Rainbow Six is
no, not
in
on
general.
This scale. This is
not
a
on
massively
this scale. No,
multiplayer
never,
thing. They've never done it.
Done it.
That's the other thing is, like, is it considered by MMO standards an MMO? Like, is it one server, 20,000 people on
it's
it?
It's a share world shooter. Okay. No, I mean,
but
yeah.
But parts of it are instanced,
right? You run around and you run into other people just like you do in Destiny. It's the same
sort
of model.
But, right. But you can shoot each other in the dark.
The dark zone
has something that Destiny doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't just go to Earth, run into people, shoot them, and get in a fight.
But at the same time...
It's legitimately a massively multiplayer PvP zone.
Yeah. But at the same time, they also have Destiny has something it doesn't. They just have multiplayer areas where it's pre-made matches. You just go in and fight like any other shooter.
Yeah.
Division doesn't really have anything like that. You got to go to the Dark Zone. You kind of fight people in your level, and then you extract stuff.
Points.
They don't just have like, let's do TDM, Team Deathmatch. You know, they don't have anything quite like that.
And I think that's why a ton of the fans like you, Sean, and others, they're like, nah, not interested. You know, they like Call
Destiny
of Duty.
Destiny had
they like
both.
Halo. Yeah. So, but it's interesting. You know, the Dark Zone is... It was a crazy, scary place. Yeah. We put up a clip of, it wasn't like the most amazing thing in the world, but it kind of was awesome. This guy got, you know,
a level 8 geared out.
Yeah, he was all good to
gets
go.
Gets surrounded by 3 noobs.
Yeah,
oh,
3
I saw
noobs. Who think they're tough.
Yeah, they're just kids, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, we call them whatever, squeakers. Mm-hmm. Here in Spain, they call them, what is it, niños ratas, rat kids. It's a thing, totally. It's a thing. I learned this through this process. That's but so anyway, funny. They like surround him, and you see our subtitles on it. It's called like Lone Player Gets Wrecked in the Dark Zone. You can look
No. Lone Player Wrecks three others.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Wrecks three bullies in the Dark Zone. But anyway, so he gets surrounded, and the best part when he's just like, go on, shoot me. Yeah. It's this guy Fusion, by the way, and thank you for sending in that clip. But he gets surrounded, tells him to shoot him, and there's the when you can hear each other when you're nearby, proximity chat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he just calls him out like freaking John Wayne, and they like, should we shoot him? Should we shoot him? And they open fire. He destroys him. One guy's gun goes to reload. He's like, my gun went kaput, and he puts them all down.
And then he just lets them bleed out.
But it is a cool experience in the Dark Zone. I have been alone running to go to my group, and a group of three are running past, and I'm like, whoa.
Hide.
You got to. It's a really cool experience. So there's something unique to it, and it's modeled after Destiny. So I think on those, you know, accounts, well, we got to see how much depth it has.
Here's my final thought on that. The Division seems good, but Destiny's success for us and just in general for me is mind-boggling. For a year, like, we just covered Destiny, and people just love reading about Destiny, or they love giving us a hard time about Destiny, but
the community is
still like, it's still like every video we put out there, tons of views, you know, and it's just like people wanted to see that content for so long. It's kind of like tapered down a little bit now.
But we're just waiting for the next drop.
But we're waiting for the next drop, and then people are going to watch, you know?
It's a strong community.
It's crazy how much legs Destiny has. I've never worked on a product that's been like this big of a part of my workflow.
Short of like World of Warcraft, Minecraft, Diablo type games, it just hasn't.
I wasn't here for World of Warcraft. That was 2000 something.
Yeah,
you know,
Released originally. In 2004. It's been around. It's still around.
It's still around, but yeah, for me,
still
got in early
like,
with Destiny.
What is it? 7 million.
It's a lot.
Users.
It's
but
huge.
But that's the thing. It's a console experience. You know, it hadn't really been done to this level before. That's what they really tapped into.
I don't think it ever been done on console like that.
Yeah, no, not like Destiny.
That's what they nailed, and that's what Division is chasing after. And by the way, it's super smart. So they're you can see the fervor. The 6+ million people wanted to try it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have a strong community.
Totally.
The question is depth. You're right, Destin. Yeah. Can they get it right? Can they fix whatever's broken in the beginning? Because it will be. I mean, that's part of the process. But, man, it's going to be important that they iterate quickly. But they say they're ready. They say they've got
a lot of
drops.
Well, so that's the other thing is, like, UB does actually have, like, UB's a huge company, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they have the ability to do what I don't think Bungie does, which is regular big content drops if they need to keep people engaged, because they just have so many people there.
Bungie's been doing that, though. Regular big content drops. They've faltered this year, but this is the first time they've faltered.
Activision's dedicated a ton of resources, multiple studios to Destiny. I mean, Massive is working on Division, really. Mm-hmm. They're just a lone studio as well. Mm-hmm. Arguably smaller than Bungie, probably. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like when you hear there's 200 QA people just at Bungie or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, like, because of the UB's like size, like if the Division is a big hit, then they can immediately course correct and like dedicate even more resources than I think just one of Bungie's studio or like just all of Bungie is the size of one of the like how many 11 studios that make up Ubisoft.
Yeah, but you're assuming that they can drop Far Cry next and Assassin's next and help them. Like it doesn't. I
no
mean,
Assassin's
it's a good
this year. No Assassin's Creed this year.
I will say though, you're right. They do. They focus more on in their internal engines and processes. I do agree that they kind of have a little more of a group support. It's not like Activision is like one big developer, and Ubi does have that going for them. So.
Guys, we're gonna stop there. You guys want to hear more about Division? We are launching a Division show. It's going to be coming out early next week, right before launch of the Division. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you both for joining us to talk about Destiny.
Thank you.
Thank you, community, for joining us yet again and supporting the show. We're on like almost on episode 60. This might
crazy.
Be this is episode 59 or 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now. Wow. That's crazy to think about. Leave us a review if you like the show on iTunes. That helps us out and helps the show continue to thrive. Mm-hmm.
Get on those apps. In fact, just stop the show now. Go install the app. I'll be happy. See, that's what you're doing. Cut me off and go install the app if you don't have it. It's good. It's good. We just want to get you in there because it's a better experience than like whatever, m.ign.com if you're using that. Or even on your PlayStation, you know, like the PS4 app is pretty sweet. So check it out.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Until next time, Guardians out.
Out. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.